Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
To 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I was saying the other day that probably the best church, the best taught church, the most spiritual church in the New Testament was the church at Ephesus. When you come to Corinthians, you're at the bottom of the pile. They had every conceivable, imaginable problem going on in the church in Corinth. There was division, there were party factions and cliques, there was insubordination, there was immorality that was going on uncorrected, all kinds of stuff. So Paul writes his letter to them. We know that there must have been at least four letters that he wrote to Corinth. And this actually would have been the second of the four. But it's the first one that has survived. And it's obviously a response to a lot of these issues that the elders at Corinth had written to Paul saying, you know, what do we do about this and what do we do about that and what do we do about this other situation? And at the same time, Paul has been obviously informed of other things that were going on, so he addresses those things as well. So the main purpose of his letter was, of course, to bring teaching, because Paul always wanted to do that, teaching the word. But it was really to bring correction, and a lot of correction that was necessary to the church at Corinth. So it's very interesting the way he begins the letter, because he doesn't start in on the problems. He doesn't start telling them off and asking them, what do you think you're doing, allowing all these situations to develop and exist amongst you? He starts by reminding them of the truth about themselves. Yeah. So he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, you don't have to worry too much about Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified, made holy in Christ Jesus. So right at the beginning, he's saying, you have been made holy. You see, he's forming the platform from which he can then say, because you're a holy people, why are you allowing all this other nonsense to go on? So you are called, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. So God has done certain things in our lives. He has made us to be a certain kind of people so that those qualities may then be expressed in our lives. So he's made us holy to be holy, whatever that might mean. So to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. Now, the next part of this verse shows that this letter was written to the church in Horsham and everywhere else, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The important thing is, you see, that what is true for these believers there in Corinth is true for us. Not the problems, but the revelation of the truth. So we are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, just as they were. Okay. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's really it's more than a greeting. It's like an impartation. May God impart his grace and peace to you. So Paul's really praying, may God impart his grace and peace to you at Rafi. Yes. Because it's addressed to all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you, because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Now, remember that grace is what God has given to those who deserve nothing. So the only way that you qualify for grace is to deserve nothing. So I'm a good candidate for grace. Anybody else? Yeah. It's not difficult to qualify for grace. Amen?
Amen.
She's a wonderful companion. Never mind. For in him, now, it's very important to take notice of the tense of verbs in the New Testament. Because the New Testament says what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. And here is the historic tense. For in him, you, the church of God at Rafi, have been enriched in every way. We'll try that again. For you, the church at Rafi, have been enriched in every way. You have been. Now, if you have been enriched by God in every way, there's no way he can enrich you anymore. Hello?
Yes.
Because there's nothing better than every way. In him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking. Now look how much already this term God has been talking to us about the importance of what we say, and from the overflow of our hearts the mouth speaks. And how last week we took authority over all the wrong mindsets that lead to all the wrong speech. Amen. So you have been enriched in every way in all your speaking, so you speak well. And in all your knowledge. And because you see what you say comes as the overflow of your heart, God has been giving you heart revelation, heart knowledge, all this term. You are now very much better informed than you were when you came at the beginning of term, as to what God has done for you, what God has imparted to you, and what you are able to do because you live in him. And this is only, what, week three, is it? Something like that. Because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you, every member of the church at Rafi in Horsham, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Now, if God in his word says you do not lack any spiritual gift, you can be sure that you do not lack any spiritual gift. Doesn't mean you've used them all, but they're all yours to use. Hallelujah. He will keep you strong. Oh, wait a minute. As you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless. Elsewhere, Paul says that God will sanctify us through and through, spirit, soul, and body, because his purpose is to keep us blameless. Now, if you're blameless, it means you're without blame. That means the devil cannot rightly accuse you of anything.
Amen.
Yeah.
And God's purpose is not to make you blameless, but to keep you blameless. Somebody got excited, but they were very good at concealing it, so I didn't notice it. Praise God. Now, if we go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. We'll begin at verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. We'll see what he compels us to do in a minute. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. How can all these things be true for you in Christ? Because you have died. I can believe you've died, but you're also supposed to have been raised since your death, and that's not quite so obvious this morning. So that one died for all, and therefore all died. He took every person who's living on planet Earth to the cross, and all died with him. But only those who believe in him were raised with him. All died with him, those who believe are raised with him. Hallelujah. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Oh, you've come alive. Hallelujah. Right, now, what does this mean? This is the old. And here we have the new. Right, now just turn to someone next to you and say, I am not a spiritual schizophrenic. Schizophrenic is someone who has a sort of a double personality, a split personality. He's one person one moment and seems like a totally different person at another moment. So that's not you. Now, what you have to decide is whether you are old or new. Now, if you are new, you cannot still be old. In other words, whatever is in this column cannot be true for you now. And everything in this column has to be true for you now. Because he has made you new. So, here you were a sinner. So you are no longer a sinner. A sinner is someone whose nature is to sin. You may have discovered that it's still possible for you to sin. Have you discovered that? Oh, three of you are honest. The others are thinking about it. It's no longer your nature to sin. Now, you are a saint. Not you need to become a saint, you are a saint. I'm Saint Colin. You're a saint whoever you are. The Pope may not know about it, but Jesus does, which is much more important. You don't pray to Saint Colin, you don't pray to any other saint, because you know Jesus. So you pray to the Father through him. A saint is someone who has been sanctified, who has been set apart by God for God. So if you have been born again, you are new, a new person, you are a saint. You may not feel like a saint. I was tempted to say you certainly don't look like a saint, but I won't say that because what do saints look like? You. That's a leveler, isn't it? So, no matter how you feel, no matter how you look, it's what you are because of what God has made you. So, you are a saint. Now, what Paul is saying to the Corinthians is you are a saint, so live like one. Yes. Amen. Now, we'll see that that's not a matter of trying. It's a matter of allowing the saintliness of Christ in you to be expressed through you. Amen. You see, the problem that God has with his church is there's many people that go to church every week, but they don't want to be saints. Hello? Yeah. And you see, there's a part of you that doesn't want to be a saint. It's called the flesh. But we have, well, we'll see what we've done a little later on. Let's just compare these things. Now, here, you belong to what the scripture calls the dominion of darkness. The world is still in that darkness. The devil still has that power over the world. Here, you belong to the kingdom of God. Rose is happy about it. I'm happy about it. So two of us agree. So that's all right. Praise God. Here, because you were part of the dominion of darkness, you were bound by sin. That sin nature that you had that caused you to sin, put you into certain bondages. Here, you have been set free from sin. So the scripture says, sin no longer has any power over you. You can still choose to sin because you choose to sin, but you do not have to sin. It's never true for a Christian to say, I couldn't help it. Hello? You could help it. You've actually got the Holy Spirit within you to enable you not to sin. Oh, well, hallelujah, praise God. Here, according to Jesus, you were condemned, you were living in condemnation. Because that's God's just justice upon all who are sinners. But here, you are completely, freely, and forever forgiven for all that previously condemned you. Are we there? Here, you were unrighteous or perhaps self-righteous, thinking that you were righteous when you hid. Here, you don't have any righteousness of your own. But in Christ, you have been made righteous. Praise God. I'm getting this list from a remarkable book that I picked up the other day called The Truth That Sets You Free. I must write to the author and tell him what a great book it is. Here, you were unredeemed. That means you were cut off from God. Here, you now belong to him because he's paid the price for you. So you are redeemed. Made complete and one with him. Hallelujah. Here, you were unholy. Here, you are made holy. Again, no holiness of your own, like no righteousness of your own, but made holy, so Christ is your righteousness, he is your holiness. Amen? Here, according to Jesus, Satan was your father. He even said to the Pharisees that their father was Satan. They were very, very religious. Very, 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 very religious. He said Satan was still their father. Here, God is your father. Praise God. Here, because Satan was your father, you were a child of darkness. Here you have become a child of light. Good news, isn't it? Here, you were a victim of your old nature. Whereas now, you have a new nature. Which is Christ in you. Christ could not come and live in your old nature. Hallelujah. Here, you were fallen. Fallen from God's grace, fallen from relationship with Him, separated from Him and all the rest of it. Here, now, you are a new creation. Yes. Amen. If you have a new nature, you have become a new creation. Amen. This is what the Bible says about you. Praise God. Here, you had no eternal inheritance. Now, here, you are a co-heir with Christ. Don't get too excited, it's bad for your heart. Here you were unworthy. Now you have been made worthy. Don't have any worthiness of your own, but He has made you worthy in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Here you were unacceptable to God. Here you have been accepted in Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you realize that every person, as soon as they're brought to the Lord, should be taught this? Yes. The day after they come to the Lord, they should be taught all this. Yes. Within 24 hours, they need to be taught all this. Here, you had no glory. Now God already sees you glorified. Those whom he justified, which means are made acceptable in his sight, he has also glorified. Not he will, but he has. So I'm looking at some glorified dudes here. I'm a man of faith, so I'm believing it. Hallelujah. Here, we're running out of space. Here we had no place in heaven. Here, you are seated in heavenly places. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Here, you were without God's power. Now, of course, you are filled with God's power. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That noise was not sanctified. Through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you there?
Yes.
Here, I'll have to just remove this and go on top. You now know this is the old and this is the new. Here, you were sick. Here, you are healed by his stripes. Are we there?
Yes.
Here you were a failure. Here you are God's child. God does not give birth to failures. When you were born again, he did not give birth to a failure. Are we there?
Yes.
Here, we get one more down here. You were ruled by the law of sin and death. Here, you are ruled by the Spirit of life. One more. I mean, there could be many more, but we've just got one more. Here, you are dominated by a spirit of fear. Here, you have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That is a miracle for Rafi students. Hallelujah. Okay, now, which side do you belong to? You cannot belong to both sides at the same time. If you belong to this, there is absolutely nothing there that is true of you. Nothing. You can sin, you can get sick, but the truth about you is that you're forgiven and you're healed by his stripes. Now, the devil can't undo what God has done. All he can do is try to encourage Christians to disbelieve what he's done and to drag them back into the past. You know, there's a kind of counseling where people are constantly turned back to the past. It never sets people free. Because, you see, the past is dead, buried, finished with. That person you once were no longer exists. You cannot counsel someone who no longer exists. It's a complete denial of the gospel. Why has the devil succeeded in getting lots of Christians to counsel in that way? Because it's a denial of the truth that sets people free. I've lost count on the number of people that have had that wrong kind of counseling that then had to sort their lives out. Can anything from here still be expressed in our lives only if negative things have happened here that we have never forgiven? We haven't forgiven those that perpetrated them. So we carry the hurt, the bondage, but we don't have to go back into the past. We realize that's something I'm allowing to be attached to my life through my unforgiveness. But as soon as I forgive those that have caused whatever harm or hurt or damage, then I am free. I don't have to go back over there to be set free. I have just been an idiot in allowing something from the past to still have influence over me in the present, even though I'm a new creation, even though I'm living in Christ, even though Christ is in me. Hello? So this is you. Not it will be you, it is you. Is revelation happening in there, deep down somewhere inside? Is the penny dropped? You can see that it's got nothing to do with feelings. This is the truth. Actually, you see, when you believe the truth, your feelings catch up with you, catch up with the truth. When you disbelieve the truth, then you believe all the negative feelings. But, of course, that was before last Wednesday when we stood against all those negative mindsets that we said influence the way we feel. So we're allowed to feel good about ourselves in Christ. Yes. You see, what does the devil like to do? Well, supposing just for a moment this screen was completely blank. And somebody right in the middle puts a little black dot. Every time you looked at that screen, what would your eyes focus on? You'd be conscious of the little black dot. That's what Satan does.
That's wrong.
You're clean, washed of all your sins. He's looking for some little imperfection, something that's wrong, some little black dot. Ooh, you wicked, naughty Christian. How can you say you are sanctified in Christ? In fact, he says, look, you've got many black dots. And then he goes further than that. He says, don't love your brother or sister. Look for the black dots. Look for what's wrong. Judge them, criticize them. Then you'll feel a bit better about yourself because you're not quite so bad as them. Now, of course, because you know and believe the truth, you wouldn't be taken in by the devil. You wouldn't be deceived by any of that. So what happens when there's a black dot? You say, Satan, you are the only black dot. Goodbye. Amen. Because I'm washed, I'm cleansed, I'm sanctified. Amen. You see, if the devil accuses you and you know he's right, say, thank you very much, Satan. Now I'm forgiven, you're not, so goodbye. Because as soon as he points out anything, you ask for forgiveness, that's it, it no longer exists. The blemish is removed, you are now blameless, guiltless, perfect in God's sight. Do you realize the scripture says, I mean, we could say you are imperfect here, you are made perfect forever, the scripture says. That's a truth about myself that I constantly remind my wife about. The trouble is, she says, well, if it's true for you, it's true also for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't this good news?
Yes.
Now, you see, we got rid of all those negative mindsets. Yes. But if you just get rid of the negative and don't fill your mind with the positive, the negative creeps back in again.
Yeah.
Because you have for so many years been conditioned by the negative, you stand against it, you expel all those negative things. But you see, if you leave your mind like a kind of vacuum, something's got to fill it.
Yes.
And if you don't deliberately, purposely fill it with the truth, then things that are not the truth will creep in.
Yeah.
So some of you already might be thinking, yeah, well, last Wednesday it was great, we got rid of all those things, but since then I've had some negative thinking, some of this, boom, 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 whatever it is that goes on in your particular mind. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But you see, the thing is, don't leave your mind a vacuum. You know, people that worship in occult circles, Eastern meditation and all that kind of thing, is absolute deception, because the thing that they teach is empty your mind. Oh boy. Satan loves nothing better than an empty mind. Jesus says that the demons go and find other demons stronger than them, and they come in and fill the house. God doesn't want you to have an empty mind. He doesn't want you to be mindless. He wants you to have a mind full of the truth. So it's great to expel all the negatives. Now, your mind has to be filled with the positive. So, dear beloved children, this is a record of your new mindsets. This is who I believe I am, I think I am, I speak as I am, and live as I am. Wow. Some of you are looking as if you wished it were true. It is true. It is the truth. This is the truth. It won't become the truth when you're more sanctified. It is already the truth about you. It is already what Christ has done, already what he has made you. And you see, in revival, this is, people live like this. They believe this, they speak like this, they live like this. So they actually, you never find in revival people go for counseling. If they want anything, they just ask for prayer. Just agree with me, will you, for boom, 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 boom. Because they're living in the truth, so they don't need counseling for someone to get them in the truth. Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was first living in revival, I was just spending virtually all day, every day, praying with one person after another. Not from my own church, because they all knew all this stuff. But, you know, people that were coming from all over the nation and beyond. I didn't have to counsel or minister except, you know, on Sundays at the services to the people in the church because they knew the truth, they were walking in the truth, they spoke the truth to one another in love. And this is how we lived as when Kingdom Faith was a community. Committed to living this lifestyle together. And this is how we live now as Kingdom Faith, committed to living this lifestyle together.
Yeah.
And you'll find that people that have drifted away from Kingdom Faith were not prepared to live this lifestyle. They believed negative things, they believed all kinds of, they believed some of the stuff over here. Well, you see, if you believe some of that stuff, you can't live this. You just have to decide. Now, what does the scripture say? You have died. So when you died, I was talking to the church group on Monday evening doing the Pastoring with the Truth course. And I was saying that there was an occasion when I was really struggling with an issue. I can't even remember what the issue was now. This was some years ago. I can remember it was during the time at the Heights. It would be in the early 80s. But there was this issue really bugging me. And I prayed about it and did this, that, and the other, you know. You stand against these things and this issue was still bugging me, still getting on top of me. That's how it seemed. So I decided one day I'm going to shut myself in my study and I'm going to nail this thing once and for all. This is not going to persist. So I'm walking up and down in my study, you know, doing all the stuff, really going for it, boom, 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 boom. And the Holy Spirit suddenly said to me, just shut up and go and sit down.
Yeah.
So I stopped talking and went and sit down. And he just said three words to me, you have died. And I thought, oh, you idiot. You've been teaching this for years. You know the truth of it. You've been asking God to deal with something that actually is already dead. But you haven't been reckoning it as dead. Immediately, I was set free. Immediately, the issue was resolved. It was resolved so fully, I can't even remember what it was. That's honest truth. At the time, it seemed a big thing, but now I can't even remember what it was. Why? Because the truth sets you free, or knowing the truth sets you free. And the truth is, you have died. And your water baptism signifies that you have died and lay buried with Christ. That's why every believer needs to be baptized in water. If any of you new students haven't yet been, there's bound to be one sometime in the near future. So you'll be able to. Hallelujah. There's usually a few students that need to be dunked. Hallelujah. Because, you know, let me just say this, because you often hear people say that baptism is the public declaration of my faith. That's not what baptism is at all. You make a public declaration of faith at your baptism, but that's not what it is. Your baptism is your funeral service. It's like saying, I cannot live in this any longer, because the scripture says, I am dead and lay buried with Christ. That's what my baptism signifies. I lay buried with him. And you know, some people say, well, I've died, but my old man won't lie down. And I say to them, well, have you ever seen a buried man sit up? Hello? Yeah. And what the scripture says is that you have not only died with Christ, but you have been buried with him. So this person that you were is dead and buried and good riddance. Amen. Now, if you sometimes feel any of that, it's because you think some of that. And you've got no right to think any of that, because this is who you are. You're not a spiritual schizophrenic. Amen. There's not part of you over here and part of you over there. It's impossible. Yes. So that thinking that comes over here is false thinking. Yes. It's not the truth about you. Yes. This is the truth about you. Yes. This is who you are. It doesn't matter who you were. Yes. This is who you are. Yes. And the great thing about the gospel, as some of us were seeing in the early chapter of Romans the other day, in the second year, that it doesn't matter who you were before, whether you were a strict Jew or a pagan living in immorality, you start a new life at one with Christ. No longer bound by law, no longer bound by sin, you are now a new creation. Yes. Hallelujah. You're no longer religious in the sense that, you know, you're trying to obey a whole lot of commands. Many churches are religious. They're not spiritual. You can go there and you're really searching to see evidence of the Spirit. They're very religious because Saul of Tarsus was very, very religious. The Pharisees were very, very religious. But they weren't spiritual. You can go to some cathedrals, hear beautiful singing, beautiful, you know, sort of forms of worship, and it's all religion.
That's right.
I'm tempted to tell you a story. But you don't like stories. Well, I preached in cathedrals all over the world, but this particular occasion I was preaching at a cathedral in Canada, I won't say which city it was, and the bishop was there and all the, you know, dignitaries and all the rest of it. It was a Sunday morning service. And I was preaching the word, and of course, you know, it had one of these big, beautiful sounding choirs. And being the kind of building it was, I was in one of these sort of elevated pulpits, looking down on all the bald heads. About halfway through the sermon, the Holy Spirit prompted me to do something. And, you know, in these cathedrals, the congregation is there and the preacher is usually over here in this raised pulpit and the choir is behind. I turned around and started preaching to the choir. And I was saying, you know, God is not fooled by all your singing. He knows what goes on in your heart. He knows what goes on in your life. And you can't hide the way you're living by just coming here and singing with beautiful voices on a Sunday. Boy, the atmosphere. And I said, you need to repent of your sins just as much as anybody else here. And God only accepts your worship when it comes from a sanctified heart. The bishop took me out to lunch afterwards. And during the course of lunch, he said to me, "I'm so glad you said that to the choir. They've needed that for years." And I just restrained from saying, "Well, why haven't you said it to them then?" Because if he realized they needed it, he could have said it. But he was waiting for someone here today and gone tomorrow to do the dirty work for him, or the good work for him. So you get some interesting situations when you travel around, but you have to be obedient to the Lord. You know, you can't opt out. If the Spirit of God is going to speak through you and you come to a situation like that, you dare not disobey the Lord. Because otherwise the whole anointing lifts off what you're doing. So, you can be very religious, but that doesn't necessarily mean what you're doing comes from the heart. And we know that God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but on the heart. So it's no use us coming in here and putting on a good performance at the 8 o'clock. Hello? Yeah. You see, you younger guys would have heard about the charismatic movement that actually restored the life and power of the Holy Spirit to the church back in the 70s and 80s. But what has happened since then is a charismatic religion has developed. Back in the 1930s, there was a move of the Holy Spirit. Out of that came the Pentecostal religion.
That's right.
See, this is what man does. Turn something that is new and fresh and vibrant from God into a style, into a religion. So you can go to places now and they've got the songs and they've got all the form, but you think, where is the reality of his presence? Where is his power? Where do we really see lives being transformed and changed? Having the right style means nothing. Because this isn't style, this is life.
Yes.
This is the new life that you have. So, you kicked out the negative last Wednesday. How are you going to get the positive in its place? Well, one of the ways that helps is, you remember when we entered the feast? There are still some of these things here. Some of you may not realize, some of the members of the team. All the things we said, what the Lord had done for us, you keep confessing these things. You know, I suggested you do several of them, three or four groups each day. You keep speaking these things. Some of you, I see many of you have been making the list. You speak it over your life. You say, wait a minute, it's got to come from the heart. Now, this is the strange thing. When it's in the heart, you speak it. Sometimes you have to keep speaking it to get it in the heart.
That's right.
You keep on, you keep on, you keep on, you keep on affirming. And every time something negative raises its ugly head, you do not get into a negative frame of mind. You don't go with that negative strain of thought. You cut it off and you say, "No, that's not true. This is who I am now." And you know, it's good, if, especially if you're on your own, say these things aloud.
Amen.
There, let me tell you a mystery. You know, the scripture speaks about there being certain mysteries in Christ. Let me tell you a mystery. When you speak the truth, that word fills the universe.
Amen. That's right.
The whole of creation is impacted by that word. It's not just those who are within earshot. You have spoken God's truth into his creation, into the whole of his creation. The creation is longing for the sons of God to be revealed.
Amen.
And the way in which that process begins is by what you say.
Yes.
So it's very important you are not speaking negativity out, because you, once those words are spoken, they cannot be taken back.
Amen.
Yes.
They've been spoken.
Yes.
And you see, this is why Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. There'll be a new heaven, new earth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. They are eternally spoken. They will forever echo throughout the whole of the entire creation.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You're not living some little life of a little insignificant person. God has called you to be one that will infect the whole of creation.
Yes. Amen.
You won't be able to see what that effect is, but you and the others that are proclaiming the truth and speaking the truth are actually preparing for Christ to come again when he will gather to himself all those who belong to him.
Amen.
That's why we've got to cut out all the negative that we say and realize, boy, I have a great responsibility here. The whole of creation is waiting for me to speak the truth, to declare the truth. And my words somehow are out there in the ether, or whatever it is out there. Your words, when you speak the truth, have that quality of eternity.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
These are the words of death.
Yeah.
These are the words of eternal life.
Yes.
I mean, here you could say you've got death and here you've got eternal life. I mean, you go on and on and on making these comparisons. So praise God. Keep affirming it till you, it's your thinking.
Yes.
This is who you think you are. This is who you know you are.
Yes.
Not because you've heard it in a sermon or a message, but because this is what is in your heart. This is who I am.
Yes. Amen.
And the devil cannot take away from me what God
Amen.
Has imparted to me.
Yes.
He can try to encourage me to deny it. He can try to drag me back into the past, but he is a liar, he is a deceiver, he is the father of all lies, and I'm not going to listen to anything he says. Hallelujah. So we've got an important mission. Every day is important. Every time you speak the truth, you are making a difference. Can you see why the devil is so intent on getting people to focus on their feelings? Because when you just speak what you feel, so often you deny the truth instead of speak the truth. So, hallelujah. Oh, there's all many good things in there about how to stand against all the things that try to restrict and inhibit the proclamation of the truth in our lives. But I don't think we've really got time to get into those things now. Perhaps we'll go on from that point next week. Just look at it and say, that's me.
That's me.
That's me.
Come on, let's all stand, shall we? That's me. Thank you, Lord. By your grace, by your grace, by your grace. By your grace, hallelujah. By your grace, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The old has gone and the new has come. It's your word, Lord. I have died and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. I now participate in your divine nature through your very great and precious promises. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Right, so what we're going to do for the next few minutes is we're going to affirm each one of these truths. We're going to speak it out and declare it. Not just say the words, we're going to thank God for it. We'll start here and then put the top three things at the bottom. So let's say together, I am a saint of God.
I am a saint of God.
Come on, just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you've called me, chosen me, set me apart for yourself. I am a saint. Called to live as a saint. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, next. I belong to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within me. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Next, I have been set free from sin. Sin no longer has any dominion over me. Hallelujah. Come on, thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I am completely and freely forgiven. Hallelujah. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I have been made righteous. Come on, let's speak it out. And I can therefore live in righteousness. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I have been redeemed. Oh, come on, better than that. I have been redeemed and belong to God forever. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Korala bazata barada bakarazita ba. I have been made holy, and so are called to live in holiness. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You are a holy one. A holy one. A saint, a sanctified one. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is my eternal Father. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Pour ala bazata para zata bakala zito ba. Yes. Now I am a child of light and can walk in the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is so good. It's so good. It's exciting. Now I have a new nature, Christ in me. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Now I have a new nature, Christ in me. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. This sound is going out into the whole universe. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now I am a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pour ala bazata baria leta bakala zito ba. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I am a co-heir with Christ. Come on, thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Pour ala bazata baria leta bakala zito di sandama. Bo parazata paria leto bakala zito ba. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I have been made worthy in the sight of God. Oh, come on. Speak these things out loudly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just see that your voice has got to reach the far corners of the universe. Hallelujah. I am accepted in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Por alla basata pare alla tu bacalasito. I have been glorified. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I belong to the glory. Thank you, Lord. I belong to your glory. Praise your holy name. Wonderful, 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 Lord. I am seated in heavenly places together with Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, rata parala la basada bakala sita. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am filled with God's power through the Holy Spirit. I am filled with God's love through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Por alla basata paria letta bacalasito. Por alla basata paria letta bacalasito. Now I am ruled by the Spirit of life. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now I am God's child. Hallelujah. Por alla basata bakala sita risato ba. Thank you, Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Come on, say it again. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I have a spirit. This refers to your human spirit, you see, because the Spirit of God is in your human spirit. I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, affirm it, speak it out, declare it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for all these great and wonderful truths. Praise your holy name. Wonderful, 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 Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Por alla basata bakala zitoba. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. We're just going to add another couple of things that we read in those scriptures earlier on. Hallelujah. God telling the Corinthians that they were sanctified. And he says, you have been enriched in every way. So come and affirm it. I have been enriched in every way. I have been enriched in every way. I have been enriched in every way. In all my speech and in all my knowledge. Hallelujah. I have been enriched in every way, in my speech and in my knowledge, in my understanding of who I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, affirm this. I do not lack any spiritual gift. Speak it out. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Pura la basata pari alera bakala sitri sanduma. Hallelujah. Now, this is like the feast all over again, isn't it? You see, in the feast, we focused on what the Lord had done for us. This morning, we feast on who we are because of all he has done for us. But all that is part of the feast. It's just another dimension of the feast. And you see, none of this stuff exists in the feast. None of that stuff can get into the feast. It's not allowed to invade because there's no wedding garment there. Here, there's the robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Just turn to three people around you and say, you're allowed to feel good about yourself in Christ. Let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pura la bazata bakala zatuba. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Amen. Now, all you've got to do for the rest of your life, every day of your life, is just live as who you really are. Not who the devil says you are, not who some other people might say you are, but who God says you are. Because he knows better. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.